Iguodala, and here it comes. He got it! The Warriors have won on a game-winning shot by Andre Iguodala!
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
A spit screen. Hoji will defend.
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life!
It's the T.C. Martin Show. Time to get your daily prescription from the doctor.
Gasol says, hey, pass a big ticket.
T.C. Martin.
And here comes the Birdman. Flapping his wings and soaring for a sweet flush. When you're aerodynamically designed with that hairdo, you can do those kinds of things. With that sweet mohawk.
The doctor is now in.
Unos, dos, tres.
Olé!
Olé!
Glad to have you with us. Here we go. We are just hours away from tipping it off for game number three as the NBA Finals shifts to Cleveland. Warriors taking on the Cavaliers. This is it. Back against the wall for the Cavs. Will they get the job done? We will find out. We will talk to the big seven-footer, the five-time NBA champ, Big Bill Cartwright. He will join us, give us his thoughts. He was in attendance first couple games in Oakland. And now we'll see if the Cavaliers could answer the bell. Game one, they were there. Game two, dominated. That's what they were. They got Steph dominated. That's what happened to them.
Yeah, what was it? 8-9 three-pointers for Curry?
Yeah, only eight. Nine. I believe it was.
I think it was a finals record.
Yeah, it was.
The one
he broke
he
it by
hit,
one, correct.
The one he hit late in the... I want to say it was late in the third quarter where he was basically going out of bounds and...
It was a horse shot.
Yeah, but I mean, horse shot, but it was nothing. Listen, if I could make that playing horse, I'd win a lot of money against guys who think that I wouldn't be able to shoot the ball. But that was pretty. By the way, the website that I use for scores sucks. Orioles defeat the Mets 1-0, and Giants currently trailing the D-backs 4-2.
There you go. Because
you gave me a hard time. You're like, hey, what about the Giants Diamondbacks score?
Well, yeah, you got to give all the scores, the ones you like.
Well, if the garbage website doesn't give me the scores, wow. I have games I don't know were existing.
You don't need to air your dirty laundry on the air.
I will not name the website, but...
You don't need to air that on the air.
I'm just saying, you know. So,
there you go.
So for those who are wondering, the Mets, they suck again. They lose to the Orioles. The hapless Orioles 1-0.
There you go. All right, Giants D-backs. And Chris Chapman will keep you
in the eighth.
He'll keep you updated on that game.
Yes.
During the course of the show.
4-2 in the eighth in favor of the D-backs.
All right, so we got NBA Finals game number three tonight. We'll look forward to that. Cavaliers bench, you talk about three-pointers. 2-for-17 from beyond the arc in the NBA Finals. How do you like that? 2-for-17?
That's good stuff.
Ouch. Ouch,
well,
terrible.
Listen, Cleveland's five starters aren't even good. So imagine how bad their bench is.
You talked about that Steph Curry, that highlight reel shot. You know who had a semi-hand in his face was Kevin Love.
Yeah,
who seems to
semi-hand.
Exactly. Who between him and J.R. Smith, I don't know who is the butt of more jokes with the Cleveland Cavaliers, Love or Smith. That's a parlay for you.
I think probably Smith, only because Love doesn't have a defining bonehead moment. Smith has a laundry list of defining bonehead moments. But here, you know what, though? I got to say it. For all the flack that J.R. Smith is getting, why is LeBron James getting a pass for not knowing that they had a timeout left?
Well, that's true. Well, Ty Lue, you didn't see Ty Lue sprinting down the court?
Well, Ty Lue's
going
a terrible
timeout,
coach,
right?
So it doesn't surprise me. Yeah. But, I mean, really, it's Coach James and not Coach Lue. GM James and not whoever they have in the GM spot. Owner James, wait, we'll stop there. But
yes,
yeah, LeBron, for all the great things he does, he shouldn't get a pass for not knowing that the team did have a timeout.
All right, Golden Knights talk today. Want to hear from you again. You want to participate, jump on board the phones with us, 876-1340. We are about, let's do the math here, 26 hours away from game number five. It could be, and I say could be, in quotation marks, the final game of the season. The Cup will be in the building. Always an exciting time when the Cup is in the building. But like I said yesterday, I'm sticking to it. It's not being a homer at all. It's just I feel the Golden Knights will come up big tomorrow. And you know what, Magnum? This might not even be a close game tomorrow. I'm going to even say that. I think they're going to jump on them tomorrow. They're going to extend the series. It's going to go back to D.C. for Game 6. Backs against the wall. They have to do it. They've had a little bit of time to recoup. And again, just a lot of shots hit the post in game number 4. It wasn't like, you know, the Golden Knights had their blowout victory in game number 1. The Caps had it in game number 4. So game 5 tomorrow, the Golden Knights are going to be ready. I firmly believe it. This series will not be over. I don't even know why they're bringing the Cup. I mean, I don't know why they're packing it up and they're putting it, you know, going through customs and going through all the airport security. You don't even need to do that because it's not going to be presented to anybody tomorrow night.
Well, you know, a lot of what you say, I think, is pretty accurate. Even in game 3, they were thoroughly outplayed in game 3. Yet there were a couple of plays where if the puck goes their way or bounces the right way, Marchessault hit a post. Ryan Reeves had an opportunity at an open net, and he missed the shot. You know, it's even in game 4. They came out. If they put two goals in the net very early like they should have, it's a completely different game. I mean, I understand that things, you know, hockey is a funny sport, and you need some bounces and you need some luck. Every bit of luck has gone against the Golden Knights in this series. I mean, you could even go back to game 1. The first goal that Washington scored, the puck was rolling, and Conley got a piece of it and tipped it in past Fleury. The puck was literally rolling on the ice. So Washington has had a lot of luck, and they've also played extremely well. I mean, I'm not saying the Golden Knights are losing because of luck. The Golden Knights have been outplayed in most of the series, but if there was a little bit of luck for the Golden Knights, this series would be completely different.
There have been plenty of defensive lapses from the Golden Knights. That's why they are in this hole right here. Of course, you know, there are lucky bounces in every sport. You can say it in baseball, bad hops, that sort of thing. Football, it's an oblong ball. Of course, you get it. You know, you got a puck firing down the ice at 100 miles an hour. There's going to be tricky stuff that happens there. We realize that. You're dealing with ice. But bottom line is this. They need to win tomorrow night. Vegas Golden Knights need to win tomorrow night. I feel that you are going to see a team that will be very disciplined tomorrow night. Watch. The penalties will be down. They're going to be very conscious of the protection in front of Fleury. I just expect them to put their best game forth tomorrow night. And if they don't, then you can go back and say, okay, well, maybe this was a Cinderella story. And I understand that people don't like to hear that because you had 5 months of a season where they seemed to be one of the top teams, if not the top team, at least in the Western Conference, all season long. And you can make that case. Even despite injury, they bounced back. They won. Even in series where they didn't have home ice, they were fantastic against Winnipeg. So I really firmly believe that they will show up tomorrow night. And it's not just one of those things. Well, I hope they can win this thing. Hope they can extend it. They are just as good as the Capitals. And tomorrow night is their time to shine. We'll see what kind of motivator Gerard Gallant is. And that's probably not even fair to say. We know he's a great motivator. We know that these guys love playing for him. But I'm very, very curious to see what happens with this game tomorrow night. And do you subscribe to the theory that possibly, maybe not intentionally, that the Caps maybe don't put their foot on the gas as much tomorrow night? They won't do it intentionally, but as we see, when things happen and the game gets rolling, especially if the Golden Knights score a first goal, and you get shell-shocked and you get hit upside the head the way Vegas did in game number 4 back in D.C., let's just see what happens tomorrow night. Because remember, they've still got 3 games to go. Sure, if they lose tomorrow night, then the pressure quickly is on their shoulders.
Well, the pressure's already on them because they have to win the closeout game.
Yeah, but it's really not on them tomorrow night. But my point is, even if they have a 3-2 lead leaving out of here tomorrow night to go back home, all of the pressure is on them because they realize that they only have one game left at home and they have to close it out. And if they don't, all of a sudden now they're the underdog in game 7.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's amazing how much and how quickly things can shift. You know, I think the Capitals probably know that they were pretty lucky in game 4. James Neal does not miss that shot maybe ever in his entire life except that one moment. I think it was Tuck who sent it in across the ice and it deflected off of Eric Halla's his skate. It just missed. I mean, it was inches away from going in, or it's 2-0 5 minutes into that game. Vegas is a team that has been very opportunistic all season. Washington's playing opportunistic hockey in these finals, but I believe the pressure's already on Washington because they have to win tomorrow night because they know Game 4 could have gotten away from them just as quick as it did from the Golden Knights with a little bit of luck. So I really think Washington, and I could be completely off base tomorrow, I think they're going to play not to lose.
That kind of goes with what I'm saying, yeah.
And we see, not just in hockey, we see not just in sports, but when you do things not to make a mistake, you're thinking about not making mistakes, and you're not focused on playing your game. Washington needs to come out, and they need to score early tomorrow and take the crowd at T-Mobile out of the game. Because if they don't, and the Golden Knights are able to get a 1-0 lead early in that game tomorrow, it could snowball quickly into 2-3 goals.
That's what I think is going to happen.
And I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but the guys in the locker room, I was there today, and very different attitude than it was on Monday night. Monday night, I think the guys said a lot of the right things. But there was a looseness in the Golden Knights locker room. There was a looseness in practice. Guys smiling. Coach Gallant making jokes in the post game or in the press conference after practice. They're very loose. I haven't been around the Capitals. I would imagine that they're probably saying the right things because you have to. But I'm not so sure that Vegas doesn't win this game tomorrow. I really think the first 10 minutes are going to be huge.
All right. Who is the pressure on? Your thoughts. 876-1340. First-time callers love to hear from you. 876-1340 outside of Vegas. You know, the area code 702. Who is the pressure on? Is it on the Caps tomorrow night? Is it on the Golden Knights? I want predictions. What do you think is going to happen here? Chime in. Your thoughts. How's the game going to unfold? 876-1340. Chime in. Join us. Give us your thoughts. You talk about the Golden Knights being loose, and they have been loose for the better part of this entire season, this entire postseason. So it doesn't surprise me, especially now that you are back home. Now that you are back home, you've had a day or two to get acclimated and say, okay, we understand the situation. We know where we're at here. So I firmly believe they're going to be loose. That doesn't surprise me at all. This is a loose group by nature. And when you've been this way all year, realizing pretty much you're playing with house money, I firmly believe that you're not going to tighten up now, especially on your home ice. Even though backs against the wall, elimination game, you are going to be ready to fire on all cylinders, and that crowd's going to be behind them. There's not going to be any tension with them whatsoever. All right, go to the phones. Talk to Josh. Josh, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, man. What's up?
Not much. Yeah, I think the Capitals are the ones that are going to have the issue a little bit. They're going to have the pressure on them. They've given up 3-1 leads 5 times in playoffs. And so, I mean, I think that the pressure's on them a lot harder than us. So,
I agree with you. I totally agree. You got to remember, this is still a series that has 3 games potentially left. And 2 of those 3, if you're in the Caps' eyes, are on the road. Okay? You would feel a little bit different, like if you were in the Warriors situation, knowing that, okay, well, hey, we're going to have games 5 and 7 back at our place. But the Caps do not have that luxury. So therefore, that's why I think tomorrow is such a huge game. Of course, it's a huge game for the Golden Knights because it's elimination for them. But for the Caps, if they don't win, all of a sudden, boom, they kind of become the underdog to a certain degree. And I think the pressure will be solely on them for the rest of this series. So
nope, totally.
Okay, Josh, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. Let's keep on keeping on here. Back to the phones we go. Let's talk to Gabe. What's going on, Gabe?
Hey, how's it, man?
Good, man. What do you know? Gabe, we might have lost you there. Bad phone connection. One more time, Gabe. Are you there? Come on, Gabe. Down a tunnel. Gabe, call us back. All right? Give us a call back. We had a little bad phone connection there. Open lines for you. 876-1340, the phone number. 876-1340. Who's the pressure squarely on for game number 5 tomorrow at T-Mobile? Is it the Knights? Is it the Caps? Give us your thoughts, predictions, what's going to happen. You know how I feel? Sounds like Magnum's on that same train. This team is loose, ready to rock. All right, we're going to go back to the phones here and give us your thoughts here. Let's go. Give it to me, baby. What do you got? Let's go, Gabe. We got Gabe back. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
We're good now.
All right, how's it going, man?
Good, man.
I'm going to agree with Josh. The Capitals have a lot of pressure. If they lose this game and go back home, they're going to have to face their home crowd, which regularly boos them if they even give up any sort of lead. If the Caps go back home, they're going to lose that game, so they need to win. But as far as the Knights go, a lot of pressure is on our first line. You guys said it yourself. Our stars right now are our fourth line. Marshy, Carlson, they need to get that early goal in the first 10 minutes.
Totally agree. You know, hopefully Riley Smith snapped out of it a little bit with that late goal in the last game. But you're right. I mean, where is Carlson? Where's Marchessault? Where are those guys at? Exactly. And, you know, they cannot rely on Fleury. You can't do that. You've got to be able to put the puck in the net. And like I said, I think you're going to see a very disciplined team tomorrow night for Vegas. Very disciplined, very smart. I think, you know, in... Someone said to me earlier today, they said, you know what? It seems like we kind of lost the momentum, and that speed factor is not there. It wasn't there back in Washington. I expect the speed game to come back. All right, let's go back to the phones and talk to John. John, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us.
I think this pressure on this next game 5 is squarely on Braden Holtby. The guy has played out of his mind, and I don't think he can repeat this. In game 5, so I think the pressure is on him. They go back to D.C., like the last caller said, they're going to start booing if he gives up one goal. So, to me, it's squarely on the shoulders of Braden Holtby.
It's a very good point. We haven't mentioned him during the course of the show just yet, and he's been my guy that I've been wanting to point the finger to during a lot of this postseason, especially in the series, you know, prior to Tampa, and even a little bit in the Tampa series as well too. But we saw what happened to him in game number 1. He's been good for the most part, games 2, 3, and 4. But we know that he doesn't secure the puck, you know, leaves a lot of rebound opportunities for the opponent, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Holtby blows up again tomorrow night, because if it's gonna unfold the way I think it's going to unfold, and in Vegas is coming out strong tomorrow night, a lot of that is going to be because Holtby isn't on his game. So I'm with you, my friend. All right, appreciate that. Let's go back to the phone. Let's talk to Scott. Scott there? Scott's gone. All right. Brian, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, TC? How you doing, my man?
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, love the show. I guess a couple thoughts on the series, particularly the game a couple days ago. I thought when James Neal has that open net in the first period, and we all saw it, the Knights completely outplayed Washington for the first 8-9 minutes of that game. You have to put that puck in the net. I know I'm stating the obvious, but it changes the complete complexion of the game. You're up 1-0. Instead, you're trailing the whole game. If they get an opportunity like that tomorrow, you have to score. I thought that was the biggest play of the game because it just changed everything. I get it. They hit the post several other times. But that was a clear goal. Neal needs to put that in there, and he does. And I thought that was the biggest play of the game, or lack thereof. As far as the game tomorrow, I agree with some of these other callers. You got to score the first goal. There's no doubt about that. And I agree. If Vegas can get it done tomorrow, then I think all the pressure is back on Washington. I mean, I don't think I know it. But, you know, you're right. You can't rely on Marc-Andre Fleury the first line has to do something. You got to get it done. And it just seems like you got to get more shots on net, too. They did a better job of that the last game. But I tell you, man, I get sick to my stomach thinking about if Washington wins tomorrow, losing the cup in Vegas, it's just going to put a sour taste in everyone's mouth after what an amazing season. I just hope that doesn't happen tomorrow, PC.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think that leaves a sour taste. At this point in time, and we've kind of talked about this a lot during the last few months, no matter how this thing ends up, I mean, even if it ended up a sweep, and obviously it's not, but even if they lose the series 4-1, you know what's going to happen. People are going to give the Golden Knights a standing ovation tomorrow
series. So, yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a sour taste. I don't. I know what you're saying. And now, if this was, you know, a total upset of a series, or if it was someone who was supposed to win the cup, say if this happened in Pittsburgh or somewhere else, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. But this, I think that, hey, people realize we've gotten bonus hockey here for not just the postseason, but probably for the last 3 months. We've had bonus hockey.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. Maybe that was the wrong choice of words. I guess, obviously, there's going to be some disappointment. You want the perfect ending, right?
Right.
You're right. If Washington wins tomorrow, let's just call this for what it is, and I'm still not sure that half the fans truly appreciate, and it's not their fault, but I don't think half the fans truly appreciate what this team has done, PC. We're not going to see this again in our lifetime, probably with any franchise in any sport. I mean, this is just an unprecedented season. I've said it all year. It's a 30-for-30 in the making, and I guess what I'm trying to say is, and I know you hear me what I'm saying, I don't want to see the season end at home, you know?
Right.
I don't want to see it end here, but you're right. If it does, it's got to be a 20-minute standing ovation as far as I'm concerned. It's the story of the year in sports, and what this team has done for this city, it's unprecedented. But I guess my question for you, TC, is what do you think is the biggest key to the game tomorrow for them to win?
Biggest key for me, like I said before, is they got to stay out of the box. They got to be disciplined tomorrow, and just they've got to rush the net, plain and simple. They have got to be overly aggressive and play smart. Discipline, speed, that's going to win in the games. That's what's won them all these games up until this point, won these series up until this point. One more. Let's get to Randy, and Randy's gone. That's okay. All right, so we're up against it. NBA Finals talk when we come back. I appreciate all the Golden Knights. Love the talk, especially here during the postseason as we get ready for game number 5 tomorrow. We'll be out at T-Mobile Arena up in Hyde, having it all for you tomorrow. Full Golden Knights festivities tomorrow at Hyde as we get ready for game number 5. When we come back, the big 7-footer, Big Bill Cartwright, we're going to preview what's going to happen tonight in Warriors-Cavs when we come back.
Check this out.
All right, don't forget, we're sending you to the big fight Saturday night, MGM Grand. 2 tickets to go see the WBO welterweight title fight between Terrence Crawford, pound for pound king, against Jeff Horn, who was on the program yesterday. If you missed that interview, you can go check it out up at tcmartinshow.com and also the lvsportsnetwork.com site. And it's this Saturday night, MGM Grand Garden Arena. And we are qualifying you via Twitter today. All you have to do is hit us on Twitter at tcmartin21. Tell us why you want to go to the fight. And at the end of the show, we'll have a winner for you. And then the VIP package you'll be qualified for will be 2 ringside seats, 2 tickets to the weigh-in on Friday, $150 food and beverage credit at the MGM Grand, and a one-night stay at the MGM Grand as well. So Saturday night, it's Jeff Horn taking on Terrence Crawford, and actually Horn, the champion. Hit us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. That's a must at TCMartin21. Big Bill Cartwright, the big 7-footer, joined us now as we talk NBA Finals. We are about 2.5 hours away from tipping off game number 3 in Rock and Roll Land. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, it's a great day. You didn't know this, but this morning when you text me, I'm in Chicago.
I didn't know that.
I'm in Chicago, dude.
Why didn't you say that?
Well, you didn't ask. So, you know, I mean, I normally try to keep you abreast.
Yeah?
I'm not with plans, but I'm in Chicago. Great day out here, though. Sun's out.
Okay, so that means you're about an hour plane ride away from Cleveland. You can make game number 3.
No, I think I'm fine. I think I had a nice little comfortable spot right here on the couch, and I'm just trying to enjoy the game right here.
So when does Froggies come into play? Was there a Froggies visit already, or is that coming up tomorrow, or what?
Well, Froggies dinner is going to be tomorrow. Probably tomorrow, it's the other day. So, you know, you gotta ease your way into that. You just can't jump into it.
All right, so what you have to do, you've got to take some pictures for Chris so he can see, experience Froggies, what it's all about, and go ahead and I know you like to venture off in you a little bit. You like to go to some of those delicacies, so I expect some fine pictures.
Well, what delicacies? Because I'm also a delicacy guy, so I'm curious to see.
Your delicacies and Mr. Cartwright's delicacies are a little bit different.
I don't know. I mean, a French restaurant is going to like escargot, which is dynamite.
Well, I told you before, they serve the rabbit there. They do a fantastic job with rabbit there.
I like rabbit.
So, Bill, what's on the menu there at Froggies tonight, tomorrow?
Well, you know, actually, well, you know, we have the general stuff. You know, we have steak, chicken, fish, different varieties. We'll cook it how you want to cook. But as you say, we do have rabbit, and we do have escargot. We do have frog legs, so... We're traditional, but we try to take care of the rest of it. And also, as you know, our French onion soup.
Oh, the best.
It's the best.
Yeah.
We have other soups as well, so we'll accommodate you. We go in a lot of different directions.
Now, I'll tap out at the French onion soup. I'm not an onion. I don't like onions, but I do like the cheese that they put on top of French onion soup.
Of course.
I mean, if that was presented in front of me, I'd eat the cheese, but I probably wouldn't eat much else of it, but... I'm a big French cheese guy. I like French cheese, brie, camembert. I'm on board with French cheese.
Well, that's what you should have did. You should have stopped by Chicago there.
Coming back from DC.
You get yourself like a 4-hour layover. You shoot down to Froggies about a half hour from the airport, and you're good to go.
Yeah,
that's what you should have did.
I'm all on board.
See, I don't know who made your plans for you. Who your travel agent was?
Not me.
Come on, man. Jeez, you got to start traveling with me. We'll take care of you. All right, Big Bill. So let's talk about this series here. How would you describe the brand of basketball? I'm going to love this answer. The brand of basketball that we have seen in games 1 and 2.
Well, look, I just think it's what we expected. I think that, Cleveland actually in game one tried to take advantage of all the switching and did a really, really good job. It just came down to an unfortunate mistake by a player that really kind of ruined that game. But I thought they did a good job of trying to control the tempo. And the Warriors did what they do. They score in bursts. They score off your mistakes. They score extraordinarily well in transition. And you just want to limit their run. So I think both teams played to who they are in that first game. That second game was a little bit different, which was kind of disappointing. But, tonight we'll see what happens. They haven't lost. Cleveland has not lost a home game yet. We know that other guys have got to score. We know Culver's got to score. We know Kevin Love's going to be a scorer. We know that JR somehow is going to have to find himself. And George Hill's going to have to make a freaking free throw at the end of the game. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they come out tonight through that one disappointing game, really. 5-second mistake that kid made, to see how they play through that, because the rest of the game they played well.
Let me ask you about that. So we're talking about J.R. Smith and what he did at the end of game one. And again, he's done this before when he was with the Knicks. We talked about that yesterday, and just that's just who he is. What do you do as a veteran player, NBA Finals, and you get a guy like that who makes his bonehead mistake? It just seems to be not thoroughly engaged or not knowing what's going on, time, score, situation. Do you address that back in the locker room? Do you address it one-on-one? Do you address it as a team? Or do you just ignore it and just shake your head kind of the way LeBron did in public there on the court. Seriously, Bill, how would a guy like you address that situation?
Well, I think that's something that your coach goes to him and say, hey, look, everybody on the team, everybody in the building, everybody in the country, don't you screw that play up. Just saying, hey, look, I screwed it up. I screwed it up. It was my fault. It was my mistake. And then now you can move forward off of that. But don't say, you know, don't give me any stuff like timeouts or clock. You made a mistake. It happens. You made one freaking mistake in that game.
But it rarely happens. You said it happens, but it rarely happens.
You know, and also what gets lost in that is that George Hill make a free throw, and we would not be having this conversation. You got an 80% free throw shooter on the line, make the free throw. So a lot of things or a couple of things went wrong, and you know, and when that happens, your character, you find out who you really are. So we'll see. We'll find out who they are tonight. We'll find out if they come out and they play one of. Want to continue to play well. They want to continue to, play at a really high level at home. And we'll see. So it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great test. We'll see what happens. We'll see how they come out.
Do you know anything about being down 2-0 in an NBA Finals?
No.
I didn't think so. I didn't think so. Never been in that predicament.
But you know what? It could happen. And all you've really done is held home court.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. We'll see if Cleveland steps up and they could go and win 2 games there. Tonight's game's going to be really big. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of character they have. But it's possible.
All right, the big 7-footer joining us, Big Bill Cartwright from Chicago. Let's go back to Chicago. Let's go back to your heyday there. And the center position now is totally different, and we've spoke about this before, but how do you think you would fit in today's game with this three happy game? How would you, your game, fit in 2018? Would it exist?
Oh, look, for one thing, two positions have been compromised in this game. Point guards, but we don't have those. They're called combo guards. Whatever the hell that means. And this center position, which is now basically a face-up shooter. Now, there are still some guys that can score around the basket, other than they get the ball. But there's guys down there. So, you know, like anything, you know, like any player, I'd have to adjust and just go with it. It's a new style of basketball. I don't care for it. It's a sell job of, you know, you're better off shooting at 25 feet than you are at 5 feet. So I don't get that, but it is what it is.
Andre Iguodala could return tonight. Steve Kerr is not saying exactly, still game time decision. Don't know if he actually knows, doesn't know at this point in time. Talk about what Iguodala means to this Warriors team and how effective can he be after missing the last 6 games?
Well, you know, I mean, they played well without him, so, and won 2 games, so I'm not sure what the discussion is. They're not going to play any better with them out there. I mean,
think from a defensive standpoint with him on LeBron James could make the Warriors better defensively and add that other element of rebounding? Because we know that when he's guarded James in these past series, the past 3 years, I mean, James's totals are much lower with Iguodala guarding him.
No. LeBron scores what he wants to, period. But Iguodala can't stop LeBron. And obviously Iguodala, actually Iguodala did well this year. His contract should be up. But obviously Iguodala got to talk. And you know what? The Warriors haven't missed him at all. So
hey, the guy was an MVP a few years ago. What are you talking about of the series?
I'm just telling you.
Oh, come on. You're not giving the guy any love. You know, you're back on the LeBron train again. Come on.
Look, I'm not saying that the guy's not a good player. I'm just saying that, all of a sudden now he misses a couple of games and then he's like a max player? This is ridiculous.
Does he improve the team if he's there? That's all I'm asking. I think he does. Of course he improves the team. You can go deeper in the rotation. You got a guy, if he's healthy, that is, that can really give LeBron James some problems.
I think he's another guy to guard LeBron on the way to 30 points.
Okay.
So that's what I think. Something else is going to happen at the end of the year, and we're going to come back to this conversation after the season's over and the Warriors have a decision to make about bringing this guy back. And then if, in fact, that doesn't happen, we'll have this conversation again.
Well, you know what? I think it's probably going to happen because they might not bring him back because we had the same conversation last year where he was late to the party of signing because he was taking all these other offers. And it sounds like now that Klay Thompson could be one of those guys, too, that doesn't come back. If we listen to his dad, Michael, and you know him very well, why is Michael Thompson saying this in the middle of the series?
It beats the hell out of me. You would think that guys are just enjoying the series.
Right.
Just enjoying what's going on. But I don't know. Maybe that's reality, that he's not coming back. But to me, the best indication of a team is how valuable they are is if they're there the next year. So if, in fact, like I said, Iguodala's not there next year, what are we talking about? You see how they value him.
All right, Big Bill, what's going to happen in Game 3 tonight? Give me a prediction.
Cleveland should win. Cleveland's got momentum now. They're pissed off. They got a screwed up call at the end of the game, and so they've got an excuse for why they lost. They made a major mistake. They missed a free throw. So they've got three excuses to beat the Warriors tonight. So we'll see. Cleveland should win.
But they did get blasted the last time out. That was game one. Game two, they got thoroughly outplayed.
They were not in Cleveland.
Yeah, okay. So Cleveland, they have won 8 in a row at home, lost the very first game against Toronto. Then they've reeled off 8 straight at home, so 8-1. So there is hope for the Cavaliers. The home court, the home fans. We'll see what happens tonight. So you enjoy your couch there in your penthouse in Chicago, and I'll just enjoy it from my recliner in Las Vegas. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from you. And you know, I'll probably be having some tacos while you're having some room service. How's that?
Well, actually, I'm at my daughter's house in Palatine.
You might get a home-cooked meal then.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that you have something green and red on your plate tonight. So you've been doing better lately. I've got to give you credit.
Hey, there's lettuce and tomatoes in the tacos that I'm going to be downing tonight. So there you go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm giving you credit. I mean, finally, it was probably your wife hit you in the head. I mean, you finally got it.
Hey, you'll be happy to know that I saw a good doctor today, took my blood pressure, and they said, "Wow, you're in good shape, sir." And I just almost started laughing and said, "Boy, I wonder if Bill Cartwright could hear this and all these other people around my office building here who are always lambasting me from when I'm eating." Blood pressure, was it said, was rock solid, like A+.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the wrong direction, I think.
No.
That's just the work of Jesus.
Thank you. There you go. Believe, brother.
It was verbal fate. You'd be long gone by now because the way you eat, you eat worse than I do, which is ridiculous.
Oh, you love dining with me. Come on. All right, man. Take care. We'll look forward to talking with you again maybe next week, my friend. So take care.
All right. Enjoy, guys.
There it is. Big 7-footer. Who knows what's going on over there? There is some food going on.
Well, I want to go to Froggy's.
Froggy's great.
They don't deliver.
No, they don't deliver. Not going to deliver 2,800 miles. Not going
to
happen.
I don't think it's 2,800 miles. It's 2,500 to New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
It was 22 from Green Bay to here. It's 22. So I'm thinking Chicago.
It is a little further north.
Yeah, maybe 1,800.
That's probably about 18? Right. I think their delivery range stops at 1,757 miles.
Yeah. All right.
Well, if we just missed.
Next time, if there's a trip plan and you and I go to Chicago, I'm telling you, I've got the tour guide system and the menu all played out.
Well, see, I like Chicago. And the funny thing is, I went to a Chicago pizzeria here in town a few weeks ago, and I posted a picture on Facebook, and my friends from New Jersey were very, very hurt.
Oh, sure. They want the thin crust,
yeah,
all that
but
stuff.
I'm telling you, Chicago pizza is dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. The way they put the sauce on top and the cheese in the middle.
Yeah, I know where you're going. I know I who like you're talking
that.
About,
oh,
too.
Oh, that's
and the place I think you're talking about is my number one.
They had
back
cheese
there.
Curds. Now, I like Gino's East and Lou Malnati's. Lou Malnati's are
okay, too, but those are silver medalists to Giordano's.
I'll go Lou Malnati's.
Yeah.
That's
Lou's not bad.
Lou's Pizza downtown there, that is
good. Lou's, they'll deliver to you.
Yeah, but
they'll deliver the pie to you. They'll be here in 2 days.
Yeah, well, 2 days. What, I got to bake it myself?
You do, yeah.
No, look, I don't want that. I want the real thing, comes out to me piping hot. I'm not baking anything.
That figures. Look at that. I hate to go by your place. That's why I never get invited for a meal over your place.
Listen,
you don't cook.
I cook. Oh, I made some Korean short ribs the other night. Fantastic. Awesome stuff. I get to marinate at the Korean market.
Short ribs for a short guy. That's good. I like it.
I'm drinking some soju while I'm doing it. By the way, that's not for the lighthearted, by the way. Soju. Ooh.
All right. We come back. We'll take kind of a historic day in the betting world. We'll hit you on that coming up next. Don't forget to get on over to one of the fantastic CG Technology sports books at the M Resort, the Silverton, the Palms, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. Takes you 5-6 minutes to get all signed up. Bet where you watch the games. Bet from the convenience of your mobile phone. Real easy. It's the CG Technology mobile app. Betting made easy. Friday at the Cosmopolitan, we will be doing our Belmont preview. That's right, because Triple Crown winner could be on the way. Justify.
Another rainy day. Muddy, rainy day from what I'm hearing about.
See,
the Belmont.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because earlier in the week, people, especially from NBC, were talking about, hey, finally, we're going to get some good weather. And now looks like it's going to turn for rain again?
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? I think it makes it very interesting because, I mean, look, I don't know the entire history of the Triple Crown. And, I mean, I know it's a tremendous accomplishment, but I don't know if there's ever been a horse that will have, now, of course, assuming Justify wins, that will have ever won the Triple Crown in conditions as horrible as those for all three races.
I mean, in recent memory, and I'm talking about last whatever, 30, 40 years, I don't recall weather playing havoc like this before. I mean, maybe back in the day.
All three races, crazy. Too. That's the crazy thing.
Wow. All right. So come on out and join us. Marco D'Angelo will be joining us. Brian Benowitz, Belmont preview. And, of course, we'll be recapping what took place at T-Mobile Arena the night prior. And that is game number 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Looking forward to that. So I know you alluded to this in your update, but I wanted to talk about it. Kind of a very historic day in the betting realm, as yesterday was the first day that Delaware opened up shop. First day of the state offered a full menu of betting options. $322,000 that they took in on wagering. And you didn't have a hockey game. You didn't have an NBA game. No, that's just regular sports betting right there. Delaware could be in the range of $350 million to $760 million if online wagering is fully implemented. And to start, they've got sports betting was offered at Dover Downs, Delaware Park, and Harrington Raceway and Casino. Which one of those is your personal favorite?
I've been to Dover Downs, actually.
That's why I'm asking.
For a NASCAR race. I've been to the NASCAR racer a couple times. But, you know, I'm not surprised. And it's only going to get bigger and better, because once New Jersey does it, people will have – now, what I'll be curious to see is when New Jersey and Pennsylvania and New York follow – especially in that New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware area, will people be willing to drive across the Delaware Memorial Bridge, or I'm not sure the bridge goes from Wilmington up into Pennsylvania, to get better odds
on turnpike bettors, huh?
Yeah, I mean, and that's I think that's something that really we could think about. But the governor made the first bet, $10 bet on the Phillies, and he ended up winning.
$322,000 on a game where you didn't have a Stanley Cup final or an NBA final.
Just wait till football.
This is baseball you're betting on, and what else? I mean, future bets?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's. I mean, look, sports gambling is a wonderful thing. You do it. I do it. Most of us here who listen to this station, they all do it. It's about time the federal government got on board with it.
And slowly but surely, it is happening. I want to thank Big Bill Cartwright for joining us, previewing game number 3 tonight, the NBA Finals, Cleveland and Golden State. Make sure you check that out. Don't forget to check us out tomorrow. We'll be at T-Mobile Arena, atop Hyde Lounge inside T-Mobile, getting ready for game number 5 between the Golden Knights and the Caps. Looking forward to that. All right, have yourself a good one. If you miss any part of the show, go to the website and go check out this show, the past shows, the interviews, the blogs. It's all up there at tcmartinshow.com. Have yourself a great day, a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow from T-Mobile Arena.